On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking some light thinking from Pollyanna as we recap our Bourbon County Stout tasting reviews and then go over the winners from GABF. All that and more on this week's episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick Wayne.
We survived Bourbon County.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, I listened to the Bourbon County app, and it's a little zany. I'm not going to lie. It's a little wacky.
Oh, it is? I don't. That was our first tasting of it, so I had zero idea what these beers were going to taste like. Yeah. So did you, and so I was like off the cuff. Like,
it was fun, though. I think, you know, all we can do is talk about how it makes us feel, right? And that's
right.
It.
We didn't know the stories. We're not making the beer. We're just consuming it.
Yeah. This is from the heart. This is from the soul.
Yeah.
Right? This is soul music right here. I just dropped something.
Oh, no.
All right, cool.
So if you missed that, go back and check it out. Everyone has up a Bourbon County thing in Chicago media-wise. You know, Tribune has it up. Porch Drinking has it up. I think Josh Riley's got his up probably.
The old boy, Josh Riley.
Yeah.
We were having a chat because I saw Josh like the next day. Because he was coming up to get his rev beer. And I was like, man, have you heard this thing about how, you know, some people are decanting stouts? And, you know, it's supposed to change the flavor for the better. And he's like, man, that only works with wine, man. Because beer needs carbonation, man. Mm, right. I'm like,
it's going to change the flavor. It's going to make it flat.
I tell you, man, on the Bourbon County side, birthday bourbon was fine. But it wasn't, like, nothing to get excited about.
Okay.
But I tell you, after 3 days, I think my opinion on Kentucky Fog changed, and my opinion on Birthday changed. And those are in my top. I think my top three now are Weller, Birthday, and Kentucky Fog, and it surprised me.
What? All from bottom to the top?
I'm trying to tell you, man. All it took was drinking it for 3 days, and I'm like, you know what? This fog, man.
Because if I'm remembering our episode, we had Weller, OG, Birthday as our top three.
OG turned into the mixed berry thing in Birthday was gone, and it was just richer and fuller.
Hmm.
And then OG started to taste the way berry tasted, the Birthday tasted. So I move OG to the back, and I'm Carmella stayed in the back.
Okay, yeah.
But I think, I think that's my order now. Weller, Birthday, and Fog. It blew me. I couldn't believe it.
I think we had Fog at the back, and you say Carmella at the back. When I was talking to someone, they're like, oh, what about Carmella? I was like, I forgot about that one. So that one probably, in hindsight, should have been in the back because I don't even remember what it tasted like.
Yeah, I think over time, I think the coffee in Special Number 4 wasn't as appealing over 3 days as the dessert specialty, the Italian dessert specialty of Prop was.
Okay.
And I had those switched at first too. So I think a lot of my order changed
over
3 days. And that's an interesting, for science. We did this for science. Yeah. We drank Bourbon County.
It's all for science.
Nonstop for 36 hours to see how it changed. But Weller's unstoppable. That fucking beer did not change.
Right.
It's the best one.
And we found out from the call, which we didn't mention on the podcast, but you, I think, tweeted out, anniversary and birthday will just be packaged and will mainly be Chicago and Kentucky and maybe other a few other small accounts, but it's going to be mostly local.
Yeah, it's like that tradition they started with, I want to say the Elijah Craig. Whenever Elijah Craig won Whiskey of the Year a few years ago, where they got like these, or maybe it was the Knob Creek anniversary, 11-year-old those were back-to-back years. But anyway, one of those years, they started this Kentucky and Chicago only thing for one of their brands. So Prop Chicago, and then it sounds like this one, the, what do we say?
Oh,
the
birthday.
Oh, the two, the top two.
Yeah,
the Weller,
birthday and anniversary.
Birthday and anniversary. Yeah. But that was fun. I mean, I think it was a good call to do our show, then do the tasting. That was cool. That was a good call.
Yeah, we may have been drunk, and our opinions may have been adjusted by what we knew. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think, listening to that episode, I'm like, nah, this is really what this all felt like. So, you know, you got to let that ride. So, but it was good. I'm glad we did that.
So then, that was some big stouts on the last episode. So we're going light today.
I'm with you, man.
Some light thinking. Pollyanna's back-to-back medal winner at GABF.
Back to back.
And we're gonna go. We're gonna go over those awards here in a second. But I should mention, like, I picked this up from Pollyanna, and I also had a beer there. This was my first beer at a place. Since March, I was basically the only person on the patio. It was the previous weekend, so it was pretty nice out. And it was the most stressful beer I ever had because I'm thinking, this is really stupid. We're rising in cases. I'm putting my life at risk just to have this beer outside. But I also had to use the bathroom, so that was like... I was like, I guess I could buy stuff and then use the bathroom, but I'm here.
What's your normal setup when you're rolling the places? Do you have a little hand sandy, little mobile hand sandy thing on
you? I do have a little one, and there's one in the car.
Okay.
But so I used it when I got back to the car, and I went to the bathroom and washed my hands before and after. But it was just the whole time I'm like, this beer's really nice, and it is good. We're drinking it now, but it felt very – it was – worrisome, but no one else was around me, so when I didn't think about it, it just kind of felt normal.
Yeah.
You know, reading stuff on my phone, drinking the beer outside.
That's a good experience, though.
Yeah.
And now, that's I think that's it. You're done
that's
for the year.
That's over. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
so I did it. I don't.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Like I was at Off Color is the only draft I've had, and I'm just like, this is cool, but all the other things that could go wrong are in your head while you're. So you're going back and forth. Man, this is great. It reminds me of all these things I used to do. At the same time, you're like, oh, well, this could go wrong. Should I be here?
Yeah. I was glad I was outside, and I was, like I said, I was pretty much the only person on the patio. So it felt very low risk because I got there right when they opened at noon. And so it was I wouldn't have sat at the bar if that would have been my option, if they didn't have their patio open and it was just like, oh, yeah, we can set the bar. I was just like, I'm buying stuff and leaving, but yeah. Sitting outside.
So you're out at, I want to say they got two locations.
I think they got like four.
Wow.
I was at the, I want to say Lamont one.
Which is like the strip mall, right?
Oh, then I wasn't at that one. I was one by the train tracks. No. Roselle?
Yeah, that's the other one. Those are the two I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like right off the train tracks.
I want to say Roselle's the newer one.
Okay.
They threw a hell of a party in that little, it's not a little strip mall, but in Lamont, I think it's the closest thing to Two Brothers, if you're coming back.
Okay.
That I had never been to. And it was a party and a half. It was like a summertime thing. I have no idea what it was for, but it's in their entire mall was partying with them. So there's there's a couple thousand people in this fucking parking lot. Man, this is something.
The Roselle one was nice. It has a big like parking lot, big patio area. So they had a tent out there in the parking lot for like spillover and the patio. So it was pretty good.
Good for them, man. Light Thinking, 2019 gold, and then they came back and won again this year.
Yeah, we won a bronze this year though.
So. Okay, right on.
So, you know, not back to back gold, but you know.
But shit, they're placing twice, you know. And if you look at the list from last year, I don't think anybody else placed twice. Well, Light the Lamp, and Pollyanna are the only crews that placed. Oh, and Penrose.
Alarmus.
Wait, yeah. So I take that all back.
Yeah.
Never mind.
The winners stay winners. let's dive into that. Let's go over the list. The awards happened 2 weeks ago now, I think.
Yeah.
And Chicago didn't take home as many this time.
No, I think it was 10 in 2019, and this year I think that's down to 6.
Okay.
And that's...
So what do we got? We got, you said the bronze for American Light Lager went to Pollyanna.
Yeah, which is, this is kind of their take on, like, you know, light thinking, L-I-T-E, just mm-hmm. like the big light beer.
Yeah.
Light the Lamp, again. They got a bronze for American Belgo style, something called Still Single.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we recently, I put up the video on the YouTube channel of us drinking the Well Watcher one from them. I believe Shalonda was with us. We had that. That was tasty.
Light the Lamp last year was a session beer called Light It. So this was Light the Lamp is in Grays Lake, which is like a border town. It's up near like Great America, Gurnee, mm-hmm. and all that jazz. Yeah. So good job by them, back to back. Pantsless, alarmist. I actually walked into the studio today drinking a pantsless American.
Nick came in pantsless.
You know, I remember we had the show there, and then we went back, and they had a Crystal Hop pantsless on cask.
Okay.
And I think we were talking about, because the first time I had pantsless 5 years ago or whatever, it was a totally different recipe.
Yeah, it was a little, they changed it up.
Yeah. And I think it kind of was reminiscent a little bit, not in look, but it kind of reminded you, hot flavor-wise, kind of reminds you a little bit of Alpha King. Mm. Those, you know, some of those, you know, cool new cool kid hops, but then also like some classic bittering hops.
Yeah,
too.
How's it tasting now?
It's like, it's different from that day. That day it was a juicy cask offering.
Okay.
But today it's like a proper, clean, like clear pale ale.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of soft, clean, fruity pale ale.
Yeah, and so that's great for them because they won, the Juice took home the gold, or no. Yeah, the gold.
Probably a couple years ago now.
Yeah, 3 years ago. Did they win anything last year?
No, because remember, Old Irving took it in that same category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't win. Didn't they win something last year or no?
Let's pull it up. 2019. Let's see.
I feel like there was something there. But
not last year. Okay. So their two wins are LaJuice, and that's 2018, and then
Pantsless
in 2020.
And that was the bronze?
Yeah, bronze and American-style pale ale.
That's pretty good. All right. What else we got? We got Penrose. Yeah. Now, this is a back-to-back, like, beer win, just like thinking.
Yeah. How about that, man?
Goofy Boots, right?
Yeah. Tom Quarter and the good folks out in Geneva at Penrose. He kind of kicked off our – he was one of our earlier guests during the whole quarantine series. Goofy Boots – juicy or hazy strong pale ale for Goofy Boots.
Yeah.
The fuck is that? Is that the gold? That's got to be the gold.
One gold for that?
That looks like the gold. Because these other ones all look bronze.
I didn't think it was gold, but maybe it was. Because last time it was the...
All right, so check it out. Everything else has a different color.
That
right?
looks like the gold.
That looks like the gold.
What did Goofy Boots win last year? Or was it the... might have been the bronze then.
Penrose took bronze last year.
Okay, so they went bronze to gold, light thinking went gold to bronze. All right.
Good job by Tom Quarter, man.
That's awesome. That beer is great.
It's been a while for me. I'm excited for him.
I almost, when I picked this up, I looked at my map. I was like, how far is Penrose? Am I going? I wanted some Goofy Boots, but...
I mean, you're already out there. But you're not.
I'm not out there.
You're not out there. Yeah, you're just out there. Man, Midwest Coast Brewing.
This was a cool win.
Yeah, ESB English Sporting Beer.
Sporting beer.
I like that's the name of the beer.
That's English Special Bitter.
That's what it is. That's the style.
Oh, that's what they're calling it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the style is extra special bitter.
Oh, okay.
Which is such a confusing style name.
Yeah.
Because it's a.
Not very bitter.
Yeah, it's like a brown. It's a complex 4.5% English brown ale
with maybe a bite.
But good job by him. I remember. So we went there over the summer. This was last summer, right? And he was talking about how they're building out the train to stop right there because he's not far from United Center.
Yeah.
So the Green Line, they're talking about building a Damon stop right there, and how his place is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And then he only had like a handful of beers, right? He only had like 3 or 4 beers, I want to say.
And I've gone back 2 other times since we've gone.
Yeah.
One time it was packed, one time it wasn't. I wonder if they're going to build out that green line now. Depends on what happens with sporting events in the United Center. But.
And one of the beers that he had was the ESB. Yeah. And it was fucking fantastic. And we're like, I think during the show, we're like, well, damn, why? How come there's no more ESBs around town? Especially because I don't know what the deal is with Honker's Ale, if they make it here or they moved it or they made it out of state and then they moved it back. Either way, that was like one of the only ones, like the only local ESB. It was such a bizarre thing.
And now I saw a good beer hunting Michael Kaiser tweet. He had cans of Midwest Coast. Midwest Coast is in cans. So we've had growlers and crawlers on the show, so I might swing by there and see what this can situation is.
That's a good call. ESB's fun. I remember when Goose had their 25th anniversary, it was an Imperial version of Honker's Ale.
Oh.
And they were saying how it's kind of a pain in the ass to make because their ESB was like seven different hops, four different grains, and all these different addition times. Mm-hmm. But that's what made it cool when you tasted it, you know. So I think ESB is probably a little effort to make, but which is probably why a lot of people don't make it.
Yeah, okay.
But anywho, good job by this guy. Fucking bronze medal for English Sporting Beer.
That's cool. And first year, right?
His first year.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen a whole lot. Horse Thief Hollow, International Pilsner for Little Wing.
Okay.
Now, I think Little Wing is the beer they offer you when, because, you know, that's in deep south side, like.
Over there by Open Outcry.
Yeah, like 110.
Rainbow Cone.
Over there. Yeah. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that's like a craft-centric strip. But when people come in and ask for something, what do you got? What's the closest thing you got to a Bud or a Miller?
Little Wing?
They hit them with the Little Wing.
Okay. What style is it?
It's an International Pilsner.
International Pilsner.
Okay. I'm just reading the words, man.
Okay. All right.
No, we talked about Goofy Boots. That's the last one. Juicy or hazy strong pale. My only complaint about this app is that I'd like to know offhand how many entries were in each category.
Okay. I feel like the top or the main one says that at the top, but that's cool. Some nice metal wins from Chicago or Chicagoland area. We didn't see anything from... Oh, you know what was the surprise that I want to mention? That did you see who took home the gold for Haze?
No, I don't think so.
Of course.
Hmm?
Blue Moon.
Oh, yeah.
There was a Blue Moon Haze, or it was Blue Moon Brewing, wasn't it?
That's probably in Colorado, so we'll just go to them for 2020. I think you're right.
Was it Blue Moon Brewing, or was it Coors that took out? They kind of get to submit under different umbrellas.
Oh, yeah. Moon Haze by the Blue Moon Brewing Company was gold in the juicy or hazy pale category.
So basically, Blue Moon won.
That's the alarmist? Is that the alarmist category?
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's like mind blowing. So the original, one of our original mainstream hazes, that is Blue Moon, now has taken home the gold. That's ridiculous and hilarious at the same time. I don't know.
Should we really be surprised? I mean, you hit on something important there. That they've been making haze.
We just haven't called it haze.
They've been making haze. That's funny. But good job by them. I remember hanging out with we took the show to Miller Coors.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to Lisa Zimmer, and I think she was saying I forgot what we drank that day, but she was saying you know, craft beer people should be happy that crews like Miller Coors don't make craft, because if they did, there would be a shortage on all these raw ingredients.
Yeah.
Because they make so much beer, you know.
Yeah, I was just talking to someone that was a tea producer, and they're like, yeah, these teas have to be small. Like, if we were a giant tea company, there's not enough dandelions to go around, or chamomile. It's not produced on a large scale for consumption.
So that's cool. You know, I actually forgot about JBF, man. And then I started seeing it on beer Twitter, and I'm like, oh shit, I think I'm gonna watch this.
Yeah.
It always brings back memories, you know.
It was going by really fast though, because there's no time for people coming up to take awards, get their pictures, and announcement. It felt like FOBAB announcements. Like, go.
And this was, you know, the award ceremony really is the crowning jewel of that whole week. Mm-hmm. You know, well, there's the parties. The parties are, well, basically everything's better than actual GABF festival. The award ceremony is usually, what, Saturday morning at like 11 a.m., and everyone's hammered. They're handing out breakfast sandwiches. You go in there, and you get to just see everybody completely trashed from this week of binging in Denver. And then they win these awards, and it's like this hungover joy for like an hour. And all these emotions. It's so cool. It's a cool scene.
Yeah.
It's like an actual, it's a proper awards show. Yeah, and an auditorium.
It's awesome.
It's cool.
Nice. All right, so we have Bourbon County reflections. GABF, what else we got happening? We got new restrictions here in Illinois and Chicago.
I think indoor dining and drinking is done.
Right? Yeah.
Damn.
I think Lightfoot is pushing back on the indoor dining in Chicago. But
embrace the police state. I mean, you know, strip clubs, this is what I saw. You know, of this, a restaurant distributor wrote a letter to the governor, and he was like, I don't know if he included strip clubs, but he's like, you know, you let these other retail outlets, you know, whether it's nail or hair salons or grocery stores or, like, anyway, no one else is restricted. No other customer-facing businesses are restricted by this indoor policy outside of restaurants, and they felt like they're being singled out.
Okay.
And I can empathize with that. You know, if I put all my chips on the table and I can't fucking do my thing, but other people who serve customers don't have restrictions, that would offend me.
Right. I can go into Old Navy with little restrictions, right?
You know, these pumpkin patches, let me tell you.
Right, yeah.
I was on a call during the day with, like, a coworker, and she's like, yo, let me tell you about this fucking pumpkin patch. Like, dude, this is green light go. Like, they are not stopping people from going to these pumpkin patches.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you're a restaurant owner, what's the difference, you know?
Yeah, I understand the restaurants also, and a lot of the bars have to go through a lot of just things to be safe in general. So are they the vector for spreading it? Not necessarily, but they are a reason people go out. So if they're not open, you don't go out as much.
This sucks, man. Curbside for food, even if it's your favorite joint, it just ain't the same, you know? And it sucks. This whole thing kind of sucks.
Yeah, I saw Orland Park mayor said, we're not enforcing Pritzker's thing. That's the other thing. Like, who enforces this?
Yeah.
Especially in Chicago, where if Lightfoot wants to push back or not, the cops don't like her. Do the police enforce this? The police don't wear masks.
Police don't wear masks, and a lot of places police get discounts on fucking
food. Right. So
what's their incentive to enforce
it? They have no reason to stop a restaurant or bar from. And then what are the food? Who are the people that give the grades or shut people down? There's not enough of them. You get inspected once a year, I've heard people say. That's at the most. There's enough to, like, inspect every restaurant in Chicago maybe once a year.
I'm not the biggest fan of Lori Lightfoot. I'm not the biggest fan of embracing the police state. If you don't say something about people partying and hanging out in groups, they're gonna fucking party. And that, we talked about this before. So I'm not that upset. I mean, but then again, I'm not a restaurant owner.
I know.
I'm speaking from that perspective.
Yeah. We never got the beaches open
all
summer. But all these restaurants, like, I get there's, she's probably looking at it as if we shut these restaurants down, there's no money. That's like, we can tax people as much as we want to go to restaurants.
And dude, what about people that are being super safe, man? You know, I mean, I haven't experienced it. But I've seen you go by dine-in places, and they've got the little, you know, the little digital thermometer, right? They're trying their hardest, their gloves, wiping down tables and spreading tables out, and they're actually trying, you know?
Right. There's a lot of places that are doing a better job than some of the places. There are other people ruining it for everyone. It's a bad – I'm not going to a place. I know I'm not going to go sit at a restaurant and, like, there's too many other people. I think the restaurants are being good. It's everyone who's at the restaurant that I'm worried about. Like, I'm not worried about the restaurant infecting me. I'm worried about, hey, what's that couple over there doing? Are they being safe?
We as consumers could do better.
Right.
Yeah. And then...
But because of these rules, Revolution is closing for the winter.
This is scary, man.
I think that's going to be a lot of restaurants in Chicago that if you can't operate inside, there is no outside. Like, yeah. No one's going to sit in a pod. Yeah. No one's going to sit with their jackets in 20-degree, 10-degree weather.
Rev's, the largest independent brewery in the city is still... It's a top five brewery, no matter who owns them.
Yeah.
So that's pretty tough, right? Like, that's on Milwaukee Avenue, right? So if they're having issues with keeping their place open, you know, the Mustache Cafe, a couple doors down, what kind of problems do you think they're running into?
Yeah.
If this is Revolution we're talking about. This having these
issues. I drove by the Dark Matter over here by. Kuma's, and they have a sign like one person in at a time. It's like that space is giant,
yeah.
And one person in at a time, like
such a dope space too. That's the best looking one.
It's huge. It's set up for people to like hang out in there to drink coffee. We have a lot of big spaces that we're like, we want a bigger space. We want more people in here. Oh shit, we can't have anyone.
There's got to be some kind of initiative to help. You know, whether it's you know, there's a lot of spaces that are not being used, right? Whether it's pop-ups in towns that, not towns, if there's pop-ups in neighborhoods that have these event centers, right? Then, if your local neighborhood's got an event center that's not being used, every weekend do four or five, almost like farmers market style.
Yeah.
Have four or five rotating businesses go in there and let them do their thing to help subsidize this. I mean, we should be more creative than, oh, fuck you, Brad. Fuck your sandwich shop. It's a wrap. You can't have anyone in here. Like, that's not leadership, man. You know? Not to be all, you know.
I can.
Not to get all political, but it's not, man.
I can understand some of these businesses breaking the law breaking the rules, because it's not really a law, to do it because, no one's going to stop them. They're a business. They got to survive. It's tough.
When the smoke clears.
And no one's helping them, right? I think that's the biggest thing. Like, hey, shut down. What do you want? If I had a restaurant, I'd be like, cool, I'm down for shutting down. Pay me to like shut down. That's all right. No worries. If you pay me, everyone stays employed. Restaurant shuts down. Cool.
The death of tavern culture is real. And when the smoke settles, you're going to see these big box stores just come in and take over. And then Chicago's just a giant suburb.
Right. There's what? There's multiple stories about Culver's opening in different places around Chicago. Oh, I've never been to Culver's. I hear good things. But
it's not bad.
I don't want a Culver's on every corner.
You know what? Culver's is good because I got to go to the suburbs to get it. Okay. That's why it's good. I don't need a Culver's. I don't even Culver's in the city limits.
All right, we don't want to rant about closings and openings. When I'm not even going to them, so I don't really. I feel bad for people, but.
Oh,
But support. Do carry out. Pick up beers to go.
For sure. Former guest on the show, Frank Lassandrello. He posted on his Facebook
Motorola or personal?
No, on his personal Facebook. That Motorola was done. Like, Motorola wasn't reopening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I thought I was dreaming this, and I went back and looked for the post, and I didn't see it. I'm just like, fucking Facebook and their bullshit filters.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I saw this, and I'm like, man, that sucks, man. He was on the show, and I like Motorola. We used to take the brew bus there.
Yeah.
It started at Lagunitas, then it went to Bader Brow and Motorola. That was the first stop. That was the first romp for a long time.
That's rough. I don't know. That space is a historical... location, so.
Yeah. They won an award from the city because they kept the historical elements, the historical integrity of it, but it was completely LEED certified and completely updated. So, yeah, the city recognized them for that. Three-level spot, it was kind of the anchor of the, because that's not exactly South Loop anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's actually Motor Row.
Okay.
Where, like, you know, the Chess Records was down there, and it was actually, it's right by the McCormick place, and I think there was home to like a ton of car dealerships at one point. Okay.
So that's three now in Chicago, right? Argus, Band of Bohemia, and Motor Row.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, man. Yeah, so Godspeed to the good folks at Motor Row Brewing. They were brewing, we said this, I think, they were brewing Geno's East. They were brewing the lager for Geno's East.
Yeah, that. Oh, yeah, and Geno's East.
And Geno's East.
So the four, even though no one went to Geno's East. We were the only people that knew it was a brewery.
Right. People at Geno's East were like, wait, you guys make beer? That's probably true.
We got pizza. No, I'll have a beer. No. Pizza? No. Oh, that's sad. I don't think it'll be the last, so.
It's gonna be a long winter, man.
Yeah.
Long winter. The economy's failing, Brad. You know, there's no other way. There's no way around it.
I guess. Yeah, we don't make any money with this podcast, so.
You're going to see a lot more podcasts pop up.
The last thing, you had some microphone stuff, right?
Yeah. You know, Brown Paper Tickets decided to, give me the stiff one and not give me my money back for the It Smells Like a Canceled Beer Fest.
Okay.
But Microphone was offering the beer in a two-pack and the coolest little fucking cocktail glasses, like, you know, that said, Smells Like a Canceled Beer Fest. They made a beer for the cancellation.
Yeah.
So I went and got a two-pack of those. Yeah. I think it was like a chocolate stout with, like, vanilla or something in it. And, yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I like Microphone, but I didn't like this beer. In fact, it was kind of like this adjunct stout, and I think they're one of the better adjunct stout crews out there, right? Because that's kind of what they hang their hat on, right? Mm-hmm. Most of their items are like that. Like, let's just make an amped up, oh, we got a Goza, let's throw some lemon cheesecake in the Goza, that kind of thing, right? That's all they're,
okay.
It's a big chunk of what they do. But I was just mad that this beer was kind of like, it was just noise. And it's inserted into all these other kind of overtly sweet without being a real expression of anything cool kind of stouts that we've had over the last 12 months. It actually made OGBCS kind of like this destination almost when we had it. Remember?
Okay.
Like a week ago? So, and that pissed me off because I'm like, well, this is... Like I'm not checking out Microphone Stouts every week, and I like the Microphone crew,
yeah,
a lot. But I was like, well, this is the party stout, so let's fucking go. It's the fucking party stout.
It should be great.
Yeah. I was just mad. I wasn't fucking happy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But God, I sound like a grumpy old man. But
I think that's something that's happening in all of the pastry stouts and hazes. If you're not having that, like, the gold medal winner. Basically,
yeah.
Or the Bourbon County, and you just like, oh, this new one, you're always chasing it. You forget what it's supposed to taste like. You're just drinking the new one.
Yeah.
Hopefully that maybe with the pandemic cools off here, as people are like, well, I want a beer I can have four of at home, not one pastry stout, and be like, eh, that was good for a festival, but it's not good. It's more of that one. That's too bad. At least you got sweet glasses.
No, those glasses are so legit. Fantastic. And then you can drink just about any stout out of these.
Yeah. Cool. I think that might be all we have.
I think so. We were going to talk about FOBAB a little bit. FOBAB Reimagined.
Yeah, I believe you can still order your, pick up your six-pack variety pack. I have not been following any of the updates or anything, so I'm not totally sure what's happening, everything about it, or if there's any new changes, but you were picking them up at Soundgrowler? No. At...
Close.
Hailstorm.
Yes.
So you're picking up your beers at Hailstorm, you get your glasses, all that good stuff, and your mixed six-pack.
Yeah, it's a non-profit event. 100% of the proceeds are going to support the Craft Brewers Guild to protect and promote Illinois breweries. So six-pack, you get a branded tote bag, a fancy Belgian glass, a T-shirt, branded face mask.
Hmm.
Well, that sounds pretty good. And you get a mixed six pack.
Right.
Yeah. You don't get to decide what that six pack is.
No.
Because they know you're an asshole and you're gonna cherry pick. And you're gonna be like, give me Third Phase, let me get benthic. Let me get
let me get
Dark Lord chemtrail. Chemtrail yeah. only, please. Yeah. Thank you.
Let me get six chemtrails.
And then let me get some of this Lost Abbey shit that I can never purchase. And throw in that, what's that crew from LA? That one big last year, Bottle Logic.
Oh.
And I will have that, and I'm out. And yeah. everyone's going to, if you give them a choice, that's what everyone's going to do.
Yeah, no, you're getting the beers you didn't try at Bobab, mostly. Yeah.
You're about to get down with some of this Big Eddie. Well, that's what you're going to get.
Big Eddie's good.
It's fine. It's not bad. It's not what you would. It's not on the list. It's not what you would pick.
It's better than some of the things at Phobab. It smells like a beer fest.
Yeah. You get... Man, what's in this beer, man? I was, you know, I'm like, come on, man. What are we doing? Because you know who's really killing it with those adjunct stouts, too? I think it's a Microphone and Phase 3.
Okay.
And Phase 3 is kind of like, well, Phase 3 won. They won Phobab 1 year. And then they finished second in Phobab the next year with some of their stouts. So you just, but it's like they're kind of always throwing, they throw the dart at the same spot every time on the board, right? It's not, there's not a lot of fluctuation if you try 10 of their beers.
True, okay.
Which was noticeable. As I'm drinking this fantastic, you know, can, tall boy can, out of this fantastic glass. It was a noticeable thing just based on the journey over the last year. You know, that's all.
All right. Let's get out of here. Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
I'm on Twitter at BRAT, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram. I liked your little red picture. The other day, that looked nice. The
hop butcher.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Nice little picture there.
A new little chair.
Nice. Yeah. Check us out there. New episodes going up all the time. We might be back next week if we all don't die after the election.
What the fuck? Oh yeah,
I know. It's election week, so who knows what's gonna happen.
Yeah, man, stay extra safe, man. It's just gonna get weird.
And yeah, drink beer, listen to the podcast. Take care.
Cheers.